Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips from NOAA down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we had a very interesting talk with our local Wisconsin DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Big news. Hayward Power Sports is your new shore station dock system dealer. Some homes have curb appeal, but does your lake home or cabin have shore appeal? Since 1959, Shore Station has crafted docks designed to be your summer fun center. They're constructed with high-quality aluminum and a durable powder coat color finish on their gorgeous harbor gray planking and slate gray sideboards. What's more, their modular design allows for endless configurations. Our Hayward Power Sports team can even pair your dock with an industry-favorite vertical boat lift from Lakeside Products. Yes, the Shore Station engineers kept it simple with accessories that mount quickly and easily without tools. Sections lock together with a simple spring-loaded pin mechanism, and leg height can be adjusted without tools. Plus, the quick-as-a-click dock accessories range from ladders and bumpers to gear towers, benches, seats, and more. Not only do Shore Station docks look great, their A-frame stance provides superior level of stability and safety. Check out your new Shore Station dealer, Hayward Power Sports, today, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Hi, this is Ann the Tool Girl from M&M Rental. Here at M&M Rental, we have it all for you do-it-yourselfers and contractors. Concrete tools, metal brakes, man lifts, log splitters, skid steers, and everything you'll need for excavating and trenching, plus much more. And for fun on the water, we have jet skis, ski boats, pontoon boats, fishing boats, kayaks too. From lawn care equipment to tools and sporty goods, we have it all and we deliver. Give us a call at 634-3146. M&M Rental, located on Highway B, Hayward.
We're recording this week's show down Hayward Bait and Bottle. I'm talking to NOAA, and NOAA, definitely, we talked about it last week, but definitely things are getting cooler at night now.
Yeah, we were getting some of those lower to mid 40 degree nights where it's really starting to cool some of those water temps down to your lower 70s and even in some of these lakes, high 60s.
You know, the weird thing we were just talking about, that we're still seeing some bugs hatching out there, which is some things, it seems like this is awful late for some of this stuff.
Yeah, it is seeming like it's a little late for these bugs to be hatched, but with the recent storms and the barometer changes, they'll continue to hatch.
You know, and that affects the fishing too. Let's talk about the fishing a little bit right now. Talk about panfish first. I mean, I've been doing really good on panfish, crappies, and bluegills, and I'm getting good reports everywhere on those.
Every report I've got is that the panfish are on fire everywhere. Everywhere, everybody's been catching them good on plastics and minnows.
And it depends on the lake you're on. Some of the lakes I'm fishing, 18 to 25 feet is where we're finding them at right now. Of course, if you've got a shallower lake, they're going to be a little shallower than that.
Yep, depends on your body of water and whether or not it's got a deep basin or what kind of structure they have to relate to on that body of water.
You know, as far as bait for them, I mean, there's still people using minnows, but right now I'm still seeing a preference for things like Berkeley Gulf minnows, in the artificial lures more so than the minnows.
A lot of those artificial lures can last a real long time on the hook, whereas with some of those minnows, once they die, they seem to not want the dead minnows.
Let's talk a little bit about the walleyes. The walleye fishing, that's been a little tougher, but some guys are getting walleyes yet.
Yeah, so some guys are starting to get walleyes on plastics, like fake worms and grubs and spinner tails. But I think the number one strategy is still a crawler on a harness rig.
You know, trolling crankbaits in those windy days seems to be productive, too, and get that crankbait down in that zone where they're at. You can use snap weights. There's a lot of different ways you can get down there.
Yep, trolling lead core with the crankbaits to get them down to that 30-foot range can be effective. We've had a couple people saying that they've done pretty good on crankbaits.
As far as musky fishing, you heard anything there?
It's probably been a bit slower than most years, but I'm still seeing a lot of reports of people catching fish on most of the bodies of water. Almost every day I check on my social media, somebody's catching a muskie on the Chippewa. So, seems like the fish are still biting, but they're just not in quite as many numbers as they were in past years.
Yeah, you know, and this time of the year, a lot of years over the years, I've seen where it's been a real good bite in the evening or even after dark within an hour or two.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures, and it looks like it's in low light conditions when the sun is just coming up or when the sun is just going down.
Let's talk bass fishing. I know you do a lot of bass fishing, and smallmouth bass, they've been pretty active, seems like, lately, and mostly that deeper pattern again there.
Still on those deeper rocks and moving shallower in some of the evenings in low light conditions, but if you put on one of those crawfish imitation baits and drag it along those rocks, they will come get your bait.
When do you think they'll start going on the minnow bite? I mean, it's usually somewhere along here they switch for more from the plastics and they'll want live bait, it seems like.
Seems like that's later September, early October is when that minnow bite or sucker bite seems to heat up real good for them.
And largemouth, you heard much there, seen anything?
Largemouth are still seem to be out in the weeds. Depending on the lake you're on, they could be anywhere from 8 to 16, 18 foot of water on your weed lines. But as the panfish move in and out of the weeds, they'll follow the panfish around.
You know, I know you guys got just about everything that everybody needs for fall fishing here as far as equipment, tackle, and you're still getting stuff in. You're starting to get stuff in for the winter season now, right?
Yep, we're starting to get winter season stuff in. We're getting ice jigs. We're starting to see some of that stuff coming in, getting the orders going. But we still got all that stuff for your fall fishing, your musky fishing. We got plenty of reels, plenty of rods, and tons of baits for the upcoming musky tournament.
And also coming up here real shortly about our fall hunting season. Some of them are already open here. You got crossbows, you got ammunition, you got everything here.
Yep, we got ammo, we got crossbows, we got compound bows, we got arrows and broadheads and everything. You come on in and talk to John and he'll get you rigged up. We also do bow repair and string repair and all that kind of stuff, but John will take care of you.
Well, thanks, Noah, for taking the time with our listeners here. It's been interesting and informative as usual.
Have a great week, guys.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we've got a very interesting interview with our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and they've now expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. No matter what you're fishing for, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. And while you're there, in their bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. And also don't forget, now they carry Shoremaster docks, lifts, and accessories at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports actually has Lund fishing boats in stock and available for sale. I know, in today's world, it's unheard of, but we have a limited number of 2022 Lunds, all rigged and ready for the water with Mercury outboards. From the 1650 Rebel to the 1875 Pro V Bass, they'll all go fast. Built by fishermen for fishermen, Lunds feature boating's best warranty with 3 years of bow to stern and lifetime hull coverage, and no boat holds its value better. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, one of the people we get on here from time to time is our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. Had a chance to talk to Max the other day on the phone about our lakes and a lot more.
Max, good to have you on the phone here again. Well, it's been a few weeks here since I had you on here, but we got a lot to talk about. A couple of things going on this fall.
Yeah, fall's here. Summer's blowing by. So I guess it's time to talk fall already. Can't believe it.
Well, one of the things I noticed you sent out emails on is you have an ongoing thing with
different lakes you pick to do fisheries management programs with or plans, and you're looking at Sand Lake right now, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, fish management plans aren't going to be the most exciting thing in the world for everybody, but they are really important. They help us to coordinate regulation changes and stocking and all the things that people do really care a lot about. So it's a nice document to have. And we build in a lot of public input to our plans. We really want those plans to reflect the type of fishery that people have told us they want. And to do that, we have to go out and ask them questions. You know, what do you like to fish for? What do you want to eat? What do you prefer to do, catch and release? You know, all those types of preference type things that, you know, it's not my decision. It's up to the anglers to say what they want out of the fishery when it comes to those types of things. So that's what we're doing right now with Sand Lake. We did it recently with Spider Lake within the last year. And we've got plans for a lot of the other big, you know, high-profile water bodies like the Chippewa Flowage and the Couderay and Nelson. We've had those for quite some time, but we're just kind of getting to some of the what I'd call medium-sized lakes that are around 1,000 acres over the last couple of years.
Well, you know, and that's important that we come up with different plans and regulations and stuff because, you know, we've had some major regulation changes over the years up here when it comes to fish like walleyes. And it seems to be having a positive effect on most of the fisheries.
Well, yeah, I like to hear that. You know, I mean, it's always good to hear that, you know, the things we're hoping will happen and the things we plan for are coming about and producing some positive outcomes for people that are out there fishing our lakes and rivers a lot, like yourself. You know, oftentimes we'll start to create one of these plans in response to an issue that we need to address. And so that's kind of the case with Sand Lake. We've seen some major changes and swings in the walleye population. And so this is kind of a good time to get everybody together, talk about those issues a little bit, come up with a strategy for how we're going to deal with all that going forward. So usually when we're creating a plan, there's some things we want to address. Another thing that's really beneficial about these is it's an opportunity to kind of coordinate with all of our partners. So, you know, if you take Sand Lake, we've got a great lake association that we work with really closely. They're very involved. They're excellent. You know, we've got a muskie club that cares about Sand Lake and all the other muskie fisheries in the area. We've got bass folks. You know, there's lots of different people that can come to the table and help out. And what these plans do is they identify where those needs are. You know, this is what the DNR can do, and this is a couple things that we'd like to do, but they're kind of above and beyond what I have the capability to do, and so here's where partners can step in and help out. And this community is always great about that. So these plans are really going to spell that type of stuff out so anybody who wants to help can see where their role is.
You know, we're seeing some things happening at our walleye fisheries over the last 8-10 years or less even, where, you know, some of the lakes seem to be struggling and not having reproduction and stuff. But Sand Lake is one of those lakes that was kind of interesting to me because it went from a really good walleye lake to a real tough lake with different regulations, and the regulations were all over the board, and now it changed it again, and then now we're looking at, you know, a plan to maybe make the different regulations again.
It has quite the history, and there's some really good things in that history. I mean, like you mentioned, a lot of our lakes are struggling with walleye reproduction. We've talked about this many, many times on your show here. Sand is one of the true success stories where we saw that reproduction slowing down, going away, and took some actions in coordination with the LCO tribe, and it turned around and it became one of the best walleye fisheries in northwest Wisconsin for sure. And, you know, then we started to see some of those issues pop back up. So, you know, we kind of have to figure out what are we going to do going forward? We don't want to have this continual fluctuation going from tons of fish to not many fish, like you said, big fish, small fish. So, you know, how can we kind of stabilize it and set it up to be a good fishery over the long term and maybe have some more consistency?
Well, you know, there's probably a lot of different things involved in that, but the one thing I want to address here or talk about is, given the fact that your walleye population density per acre is never really that high on any lake, how much of that variation is due to angler harvest and just fish being taken out of the lake, do you think?
Oh, I mean, that's obviously a contributing factor. And, you know, a lot of the declines in adult abundance happened when we loosened up the angling regulations, and certainly there was more harvest after that happened. So That's a big piece of the puzzle, is finding a happy medium where some harvest is happening, but it's not beyond what the fishery can support, and then maintaining an abundance where people are actually catching fish. And that's, it's such a tight wire act with walleye, and it's really kind of unique to that species. Nobody's harvesting many muskies, even pike. There aren't that many people harvesting them. We wish people would harvest some more. Bass, panfish are so abundant that even when a lot are harvested, there's still usually a lot in the lake. Walleye are kind of unique in that, you know, you actually can see harvest reduce the population abundance. So, yeah, it stands a challenge. And I think it's not a really difficult lake to fish. It's not a really, really big lake. So, you know, harvest can happen and really change things out there.
You know, and we've actually got pretty good regulations. The universal regulation with the 15 to 20 slot, I think, mm-hmm. is probably one of the best things that happened on a lot of lakes up here over all the years. And I think that now if we can get the public awareness out there that, you know, if there's other fish out there to eat, if you want to have a fish meal, some of them are more plentiful, like northern pike, you know, and that and the good regulations, maybe we can sustain some decent walleye fishing up here for a few more generations.
Yeah, I think that's certainly part of the picture, is, you know, combining regulations and having a happy medium, providing some of those other opportunities for people, whether that's harvest of other species or just other stuff to, you know, spend your time fishing for and catching, even if you're not going to keep them. We've got great smallmouth fisheries, for example, often in the same lakes that we have good walleye fisheries. So, you know, we always want to provide that diversity of angling experiences in our area. I think it buffers us against, you know, if walleye are having a tough spell and we're seeing lower reproduction kind of across the board, it's not like there's nothing to fish for in these lakes other than walleye. We've got great smallmouth, we've got muskie, we've got panfish, we've got, you know, we have trout fisheries. People can start targeting sturgeon in some places. So there's a lot going on, and we like that diversity. I think the Hayward area probably has the best diversity of fishing opportunities really anywhere in the state when it comes to both lakes, rivers, warm water, cold water. So, yeah, that's definitely part of kind of our larger management strategy, but we still, of course, want to maximize the potential of every individual lake and river, too.
Well, you know, in mentioning walleyes, too, I mean, it all depends on, you know, there's no cold hard facts on this, but I've actually even seen something where there was a biologist or a scientist not that long ago was predicting that within the next few decades, we would be very difficult to maintain any kind of walleye fishery in any of the northern climates we've got now, with the exception of going clear to Canada, just because of, you know, climatic change and stuff. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But, you know, it goes down to where, you know, they go back again. If you enjoy fishing, you know, look at more than one species of fish.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of really good work that's been done on that topic. And I think it's a pretty safe conclusion that there are going to be less walleye and in less places within our lifetimes, most likely. I mean, we've already started to see those changes happen over the last 10, 20 years. So that's going to be, you know, a huge management challenge for us. There's still going to be a species that a lot of people want to catch. There's still going to be great technology helping people catch them, but there's going to be less of them out there. So how do we manage that harvest? How do we manage for long-term resiliency of walleye in the places that will still support them? You know, scarcity is a challenge. It's a lot easier problem to have too many of something.
Yeah.
We know how to deal with that, but when you have too few of something to go around, that's very difficult.
You know, a question for you on that. You know, we talk about we're struggling to have natural reproduction on the walleyes up here in a lot of lakes, whether it's northern Minnesota or Michigan or Wisconsin here. But how about these walleye fisheries that are at places like northern Arkansas, where they've got, you know, some of the lakes down there that have pretty good walleye fishery? Is that strictly a stocked fishery? There's no reproduction, or how do they create that?
Not knowing exactly what fishery you're talking about in Arkansas, I can't say for sure, but, you know, most of my experience working in other states like Illinois or whatever, reservoir populations are generally going to be stocked, walleye, sauger, maybe some reproduction happening in rivers. At those latitudes, rivers are just kind of by their nature cooler. They have flowing water. They might have better spawning substrate. So they're a little bit more resilient. And that's a pattern we expect to see in Wisconsin, too. While a lot of lakes may not support walleye in the future, you know, river populations may still be doing okay, which is going to put more pressure on those rivers and more anglers may be going there to find their walleye. But that's kind of a general pattern, is rivers have a little bit more of that dynamic habitat and can support walleye, even under a warmer scenario like a lower latitude state today or what we're expecting for Wisconsin in the future.
Well, it sounds like that then, even though we may be having some problems on our lakes up here, some of the lakes, that our rivers are still doing pretty good then as far as a natural recruitment on walleye.
Yeah, and that's generally the pattern. So reservoirs, lakes that have a lot of riverine influence, like a Moose Lake, like a Chippewa Flowage, are some of the ones where walleye are still doing quite well and are going to be some of the populations where walleye would likely be able to hang on and maintain a pretty good abundance. You know, we did a population estimate on the Chippewa Flowage this spring. It came out at almost 5 per acre, which is where it was in the 90s. So we've kind of turned back the clock on that fishery, and we've done it by kind of maximizing the riverine influence using drawdowns, and the walleye have really responded well to that. So, you know, that's a strategy, but it's not a strategy that we can use everywhere. Not every lake is the Chippewa Flowage that's 15,000 acres and has a dam where we can do some of those water level manipulations. A lot of lakes are 200 or 500 acres and they're a seepage lake, and, you know, the water level only changes when the water table does, so we have no control over it. Those are the types of lakes where walleye are going to be facing much more of an uphill climb to kind of maintain themselves as dominant species.
A lot of interesting stuff there.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with DNR biologist Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales, and they have live bait, tackle, and fishing licenses too. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with DNR biologist Max Walter.
One thing I want to talk about too is that this year, this summer, this has been a different year this year. And I don't know whether what's causing it or whatever. I don't want to get into that point. But, you know, we've had so many weather fronts moving through. And the frequency of our fronts and the barometric pressure changes is just much quicker, it seemed like, this year to me than instead of a 3 or 4 day rotation, we had a 1 or 2 day rotation for a long period of time there. It seemed like there was even more bug hatches going on in the lakes. And the lakes just seemed to be full of forage. And, you know, what's your take as far as how the fish you think did this year as far as, you know, the amount of food to eat and just the conditions for the fish itself?
Well, you know, I wish I had some more observations to share at this point in time. We have had some researchers that have been out doing some things on local lakes, looking at that type of stuff, looking at zooplankton and larval fish production and all that. So, you know, when I get a chance to go over that data with them, I think I'll be able to say a little bit more. But yeah, you know, with climate change in general, the unexpected is now the expected. So patterns that we haven't seen before, patterns that we, you know, aren't as predictable as in the past, kind of these extreme dries, extreme wets, this is what we should expect now. And it's going to be a challenge for anglers that, you know, have gotten used to patterning things a certain way. It's a challenge for fish biologists that have to respond to all these new things that we're seeing that we haven't had before, big flood events and whatever. So yeah, it's a reason I talk about this topic a lot, even if it's not something everybody wants to hear about a lot. The environment that these fish live in is intensely affected by these climatic factors, temperature, rainfall, barometric pressure potentially. So it's something that, you know, we have to pay a lot of attention to if we want to understand these fisheries and manage them so that, you know, we can have good populations that are out there for people.
Well, you know, some people, you know, we have mayfly hatches. That's the big one everybody talks about all the time. But there's all kinds of different bugs that hatch in the lakes. And, you know, I was talking to a professor that works with bugs at one time, was in my boat, and he said that I was correct in the observation that a lot of these hatches from the bottom of the lake that come out of the bottom occur during better barometric pressure swings after and before fronts and stuff. And if we've had all that, does it make sense that we would basically, in the right temperatures, just overload the system with lots and lots of food and forage, which in effect is going to make the fishing a little bit more difficult?
Yeah, right. And the flip side of that is it may be a great year for growing fish. They may have a lot of food available and good survival and good growth and things like that. You know, I guess the one piece of insight that I have from this spring is we were fike netting in a number of lakes throughout the area, but one that really stood out was LCO. And when we pull our nets up, you know, they're kind of sitting on the bottom of the lake bed, and the nets were just crawling with mayfly larvae. And so, you know, we all commented like, wow, there's going to be a big hatch this year. Some of those species hatch every year. Some of them hatch every 2 years or every 3 years. So I didn't know exactly which species we were looking at, but boy, there sure were a lot of larvae out there. It looked like a very productive year for some of that stuff, like you said.
Well, you know, as we're recording this here going into September, it was just this last few days, a few days ago, I had a dragonfly, you know, and there's different species of dragonflies, I believe, too. But I had one land on my arm in the boat, and I don't even remember seeing dragonflies hatching, you know, in almost the end of August.
Yeah, that is interesting. Usually those hatches would happen earlier in the summer so that those adults can feed for a little while and then lay more eggs, and either the eggs or the larvae will stay in the lake over winter, and then the cycle will continue into the next year. You know, that's kind of one of the interesting things about many of these aquatic bugs is their adult life cycle is really short. They're not out, obviously they're not flying around out here in December, and they don't migrate anywhere. So really they have that summer period to kind of be in that adult stage, reproduce, and create the next generation that may have to wait under the ice for its chance to kind of come out and do the same. So it's a whole fascinating world out there related to aquatic invertebrates.
Yeah, you know, it all comes back to the fishermen, too, because we talk about the dog days of summer, but it's no coincidence that the best fishing is usually during the times of the year when the forage base is going to be at the lowest in a lake, which would be spring and fall and even winter. And once you get into a load of lots of things to eat out there, the fish get a lot harder to catch, it seems like.
Yes, yeah, and I've written about this a couple times because there's so much truth to that. You know, whether it's aquatic invertebrates, which are very abundant in the summer months, the late summer months in particular, or young fish of many different species. I mean, there's clouds of little perch out there at this time of the year. There's clouds of little bluegill, minnows, whatever. So their fish have a lot of other things that they can be eating that aren't your bait, and that can be a big challenge. But then starting around now, and certainly through the next few months, those young fish will become less common. The bugs will become a little more dormant. And so that's why fishing can sometimes pick up in the fall. And then early spring, of course, a lot of things just haven't gotten going yet. But the adult fish are there and they're hungry. So that's why fishing is generally very good in May and even into early June.
Max, a lot of real interesting information there, as usual, from you. And I know you're going to have some stuff to talk about once you get going and get your fall surveys out there and stuff you're going to be doing too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're on the cusp of a bunch more fall surveys, learning a lot more about what's going on in our lakes, so I'll be happy to report back on that.
Well, Max, thank you and appreciate it having you on here.
Yeah, thank you for having me, John.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.net. And from there, you can link to our podcast site. And the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.